Welcome to the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network. Real women sharing real stories about their ups, their downs, their journey, and their transformations. Through these stories, we'll explore what it takes to have the courage to speak your truth, follow your passion, and be the change you want to see in the world. And now, let's get started with today's show. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Be Real, Get Real podcast. I am your host, Nancy Matthews, and this Be Real, Get Real podcast is brought to you by Women's Prosperity Network, sharing real stories from real women. And that's what we've got with us today. I am delighted to introduce you to a great friend, an amazing woman, a former rocket scientist. You worked at NASA, and she's now an energy healer, speaker, author, a spiritual teacher. She's just amazing. I can't wait to introduce you to her in a moment. And her story that we're sharing today is about resurrecting childhood dreams. I think so many of us have this spirit inside of us, these dreams, these unlimited possibilities that we think we can do anything when we're young. And then sometimes that can get kind of covered up, or disappointments and frustrations, challenges show up. And Dawn has successfully resurrected not one, but two of her childhood dreams. And she's going to share the story of that today. Let me give a little bit on her background and then we'll dive in. So Dawn Meyer, as I said, is a former space shuttle software engineer, a rocket scientist. And she uses the same science that lifted a 165,000-pound space shuttle off the ground to lift you up and out of what may be keeping you from soaring. Welcome, Dawn Meyer.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm so glad to be here this morning. It's day before Christmas.
Yes, it's a beautiful day to be delivering and sharing your story, because as the end of the year approaches, we often look at, you know, how was this past year? What did I not do? What would I love to do next? All of those pieces. And you, my friend, really have resurrected, as I said, two of your childhood dreams. So share a little bit of the background of what this little girl wanted when she was dreaming about her future.
Yeah, when I was a little girl, there were two things I wanted to be. I wanted to be the first woman on the moon, and I also wanted to be someone who could heal people with their hands, because I loved science fiction, and I saw this on so many sci-fi movies where people could just hold their hands over someone and they would be healed. And I thought, I want to do that, and I want to walk on the moon. And of course they go together, right?
Not exactly, but yes, now we find out they do. So we'll talk more about that. So talk a little bit about the concept when you told people as a child, I want to walk on the moon. What kind of reaction did you get around your family, your friends?
Well, my family thought it was pretty cool because they were big sci-fi and space fans, and they all still are. Other people, they go with that, well, you know, that's a nice thing, but don't get your hopes too high, and, you know, go for what you can do. And so there was some encouragement, and some of the, you know, I don't want you to get hurt,
right,
when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, and that line you just said, don't get your hopes up, that really irks me, I gotta tell you. Because, okay, I won't get them up. What do you want me to do? Keep them real low? I mean.
Yeah, and people do that all the time. Because, and you know, they do mean well to a certain extent. They don't want you to get hurt. And yet when they don't allow you to be everything that you can be and reach for what it is you like to have, that's not necessarily what you want to be. Playing small doesn't suit people. You know, if you're always down here and not reaching for what it is that you'd like, then you're just living that mediocre life. It's like, okay, instead of saying, I'm pushing for this.
Right. And that's one of the things that you really are brilliant at in supporting people is breaking through whatever filters or self-imposed or outer imposed limits are on them, preventing them from doing what is in their heart. So curious. So you had this childhood dream. Did you immediately go and work on the space shuttle in NASA? Was that your first job?
It was not my first job. What happened was I had applied for this job from college because I had been reading about becoming an astronaut and all of that, like I wanted to do. And it said you had to have a master's degree or preferably a doctorate. I had a bachelor's degree. So I thought, okay, I got to put in some more college time. So I went to this engineering firm and I applied for this job and things were going along nice in the interview, you know, and then he asked me something about where I saw myself in 5 years. And I said, well, you know, I'd kind of like to be in living in Florida near the space program because I want to be an astronaut. Well, my interview was over.
Right. I'm not staying here.
Yeah. That was it. My interview was over and I thought, oh, great. I screwed that up. So I ended up having to take a job working at as a computer programmer at a warehouse distribution firm, which wasn't what I wanted to do. However, what happened was then my first husband, his parents were living in Florida near the Space Center. So at Christmas, they said, why don't you come down? And I said, sure. So I just went in and I told my boss I was going to take Christmas off and go to Florida. And they said, okay. And everybody said, what do you mean you got Christmas off?
Wait, hold on a second. I want to dial back for a moment. So you got this job working at a warehouse in their computer programming department.
Yes.
How long were you at that firm?
Altogether, let's say about 9 or 10 months.
9 or 10 months. So not that long.
No.
Okay. Awesome.
So it was, you know, it was there and I had no idea how long I was going to be there, you know. And so, you know, I had only been there like 5 or 6 months when I told them I was taking Christmas off and they told me I could have it. And everybody said, what do you mean you got it? How did you do that? And I said, I told them I was taking it off. What?
I just assumed I would have it. All right.
Exactly. I just assumed I would do it.
Yeah. So you go down to Florida.
Yeah. And so again, I was glad I screwed up that first interview. Yeah. But anyway, we'll come back to that. And so I went to Florida and we're, you know, doing the touristy things and went toward the Space Center and all that. And I'm looking like, oh man, I want to be here. And there on Sunday after Christmas, there was this ad in the paper for software engineers on the space shuttle program. And I thought, well, I don't have my degree, you know, the degree I need for that. So that's nice. I'm not going to apply. And my in-laws and my husband said, what are you talking about? You're not going to apply. What have you got to lose? Even if, you know, even if you don't get it, you've still got everything you have now. And I said, but I don't want them to not pick me. And they said, so what?
Oh, so this is good. This is good. Let's talk about this a little bit because you almost didn't even try because of a potential negative outcome.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to fail. You know, I didn't like failing. I still don't like failing, but not to that extent.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's a matter of what will people think? What will I think of myself? Is it my only shot? Will I lose? You know, all of that stuff. So quick little lesson nugget right here. If we're afraid of failing, and don't play, we can never win.
Right, exactly. Because you miss all of the chances that you don't take.
That's right. All right, so you mustered up the confidence to go.
Yeah. So I went ahead and I, you know, took the ad and I went home and I updated my resume and I sent it in and didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And then like a month later, I get a phone call. And it's one of the people with the company that put in the ad, and they did it like a 2-hour interview with me on the phone. Yeah. And so
looking good, looking
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was looking good. And I'm thinking, wow, I got an interview on the phone for 2 hours. And then they flew me down here, down to Florida, to interview me again. And it took me around to like 4 different areas. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. I wasn't sure how often they flew people down for interviews, but it was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then like several weeks later, they gave me the job.
Wow.
And they paid to move me to Florida.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. So so the company was actually working on the software for the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. And so how did it feel like that first day when you walked on the job and you knew, you know, I'm not walking on the moon and I'm contributing to people walking on the moon, right? So that's another piece of it, right?
Yeah, because yes, I was so grateful I'd screwed up that first interview because I probably wouldn't have gotten Christmas off to go down and see the ad and turn it, you know. So all those things kind of flowed into this. And there I was, you know, looking at the vehicle assembly building where the shuttle was inside. And all these things were just so amazing. And I was just, you know, in heaven for months. And recently one of the ladies that works at a restaurant near us got a job out at the Space Center, and I could see in her talking about what this was going to be and how she found out her office and what she was getting. I remember that.
That feeling.
I remember that feeling where you're just, you know, on cloud 9. And you're just like so excited that you're doing this and this is what you've always wanted and here you are. And so, yeah, it was phenomenal.
Wow, that's beautiful. And then you were there for a long time, right? Did you think when you got that position that this is it, this is where I'm going to be till I retire? And maybe even you had forgotten about the whole healing with your hands piece?
Yeah, kind of. Because I remember telling my grandparents, yeah, as long as there's a space shuttle program, I'll be working out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put that other thing aside. It's like, well, that's nice and we'll see.
Right.
And then, 10 years go by and I get a divorce from my first husband. And I'm looking for something that will bring me some peace. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started studying the energy healing because I thought, well, remember you wanted to do that. And I saw a class in it. And that's when I started along that path. And I almost left the space shuttle at that program. Once I started getting the certifications in the energy healing, I almost left. But then I realized, you know, I really want to stick this out. So I was studying the energy healing and staying with the shuttle program.
So
I wanted to see it out, see it to the end.
Well, and it did come to an end because the space shuttle program ended, right?
Yeah, and that's when I left. When the space shuttle program left, they offered me several jobs, and I said, you know, because I was all set to just leave with the space shuttle program. And then they offered me these other jobs, and it just felt like, oh, I can't do this anymore. There's something else I need to be doing, and it deals with that energy work piece that I've been studying all these years.
So what gave you the confidence to jump ship? And here's what I mean by that. I mean, you had a great paycheck, I'm sure, working for the space shuttle. There was security. There was all those other pieces of it. And if you were divorced, I don't know where that was in your timeline, but being able to say no to something that's sure and certain, to jump to something that is not as certain. How did you make that transition?
Well, I did a lot of meditation with it and asking where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And it kept saying, you need to do the energy stuff. And yes, I'd gotten remarried, so I did have my husband to support me and help me. And it was still kind of a difficult thing. And then I had a friend who offered to go in and get an office with me so that we could share an office and start doing the healing work. And probably had she not helped me at the time, I probably would have done something slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah, however, like everything lined up.
Yeah, things kept lining up for me. It's like, okay, they, you know, like I decided to get my massage license because in the state of Florida, you have to have a license to touch people.
Right.
And I kept saying, I'm not going to be a massage therapist. And they said, just call the school. And I called the school. And sure enough, I signed up to become a massage therapist that I wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
But I was an hour or a month late in starting the program. And they said, you can make it up.
Wow, that was.
So, I thought, okay.
Yeah, okay. Here's a sign.
Here's another sign. And you can come down today. You've got two more days until that cuts off and you can't join for this term.
So again, so quick decision again, needed to be made.
Yeah. And it just kept flowing. And then other things showed up, other classes I could take of techniques that I love to use. And it just kept flowing.
I love it. And that's what energy healing is all about, right? So
exactly.
Thank you for sharing that part of the story. I got another question for you as it relates to science, energy healing. And lots of people refer to this energy type thing as woo-woo and not real. And I mean, you are a scientist mm-hmm. and showing and using energy healing to move people forward so they can have their best lives, so they can feel better. How was it for you, and I refer to it like this quite often, coming out of the closet?
Well, I did meet a lot of resistance with the people I worked with mm-hmm. who thought I was nuts.
Yeah. Right. Off the deep end, she's whacked.
yep, she's definitely slipped out of reality here. Yeah. But, you know, everything is energy. You know, and
everything.
Energy powers everything and creates everything, and getting in touch with that energy can really help you to flow. I mean, if you read some of the quotes by people like Einstein and others who were heavily into science, there's a lot of spirituality in that. There's a lot of energy that they talk about and how that relates to their science. So it's all connected. And being able to bridge that gap, people had told me at one point I was the walker between worlds. And I thought, well, that's probably part of that is being able to see both sides. So I get when people have that resistance to the science, and I get when people have that resistance to the energy spiritual part, and yet I can see the bridge. And it's helping other people to see that bridge, or at least see enough of it that they'll allow themselves to have it. That really is what fuels me. I mean, really, that's what
it fuels it you. Helped, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. It really helps me to help them to move forward. And then by helping them to move forward, that really feeds me.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So Dawn, thank you for sharing your story today. And I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and get in touch with Dawn. Her link will be right here on the podcast page. And you can get her many books, work with her individually. Is the work that you now do, just to wrap us up, do I have to be in person with you, or can you do long distance? Because I think, you know, energy, I know it travels, but so how is it that people can work with you?
I can do both. So I do in-person work, and I do a lot of work remotely. So I can do it on Zoom or Skype or just over the phone.
Fantastic. And,
yeah, just connect with me and let's go.
Awesome. Let's go. Let's blast off.
Yeah, let's blast off into 2020 with my book.
I love it. I love it. And I also know, Dawn, that you offer classes to teach and share some of the methodologies and skills that you use to other people who want to be energy healers. So if you're mm-hmm. if you're watching, listening to this, and you're like, I'm curious, reach out to Dawn, because she has several different modalities that she's certified to train in, and mm-hmm. add more tools to your toolbox too, right?
Exactly. I've got a big toolbox, and yes, so I hope you put tools in yours too.
Yeah, yeah. And let's lift the rockets of desire up out into the world so that you can make the impact that you want. Again, thank you for joining us today, Dawn. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a beautiful day, everybody. We'll be back with another episode of the Be Real, Get Real podcast next week. Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network, the place where impact-driven women shine as they make a positive difference for their families, their communities, and the world at large. Be sure to visit womensprosperitynetwork.com to tap into the power, resources, and connections this extraordinary community provides. That's it for today. I'm your host, Nancy Matthews, and until next time, make it a magical day.